All right, good morning, everybody. I have undertaken the difficult task of preaching on the book of Revelation. So, yay, I know some of you studied this earlier in the year, so there's a little bit of a head start there. This is a custom I used to see when I was first ordained. I haven't seen it so much over the years. I'm not sure whether it's completely disappeared or not, see it from time to time, but it's at a wedding, where, you know, the groom's at the front, the bride walks up the aisle. If people are doing it that way, I always tell couples, there's no church rules as to how you get to the front of the church. That's up to you. You know, after that, I'm responsible for what happens. You get up here however you want, which I haven't regretted saying that yet. So, but no, typically, you know, the groom would be at the front, the bride would walk up. And this was the tradition, the bride would be veiled. She would appear before the groom. The groom would lift up her veil, and then they would. It was almost as if they were seeing each other for the first time, which of course they weren't. But that's kind of the image. I don't know if anybody's seen that lately or not, but it used to be the case. Would you say? Yeah, absolutely. So there's a word for that in Greek. That event. It's called apocalypse. We often think of apocalypse. We think of, I don't know, something catastrophic happening. But the word literally means to unveil. And the wedding ceremonies in the ancient world were just like that. In that case, it would be the best man, the friend of the groom that would bring the bride forward. He would unveil her. And so they would see each other for the first time. So it's unveil. It's something beautiful and new and unexpected that suddenly you're able to see. Well, maybe not always beautiful in the traditional sense when you're talking about the book of Revelation, but still something is revealed. So I don't know if you can think about times in your own life where you have, this is what occurs to me when I'm thinking about my life. If there's times in your life where you can think of where your vision has become very narrow and kind of closed in, and you really can't see clearly. I'm thinking of a couple of occasions myself. I remember once when I was a theological student way back in the day, and it was Maundy Thursday, and I was having a bad week or a very bad year or month. I don't know what it was. It was just a really difficult time, and was not seeing clearly at all. Was very, very discouraged. And at the Maundy Thursday service in that parish, we'd always have the service, and then the reserve sacrament, the Blessed Sacrament, would be placed in front of a side altar, and we'd pray in front of it. And I was doing that. And it was suddenly like, it wasn't a mystical experience. It was suddenly like, at first I couldn't see clearly. I was so, as the C.S. Lewis has, turned in on myself. But for a moment, everything was clear. It was, I just had a glimpse of looking at myself the way Jesus saw me, and also being given a gift. And I still remember these three words that came to me 40 years later. And I remember it all the time, and it still kind of sustains me. And the three words that came to me were peace, perspective, and strength. They were just kind of out of the blue. I just kind of had a sudden glimpse. The veil was lifted. And maybe you can kind of think of times in your own life as well, where, again, we might have been close in on ourselves, and suddenly, just for a moment, at least, you were able to see clearly. The book of Revelation is certainly difficult to interpret. As we know, though, some of you have studied it, it's very, very difficult to interpret. It's written in a very kind of coded way. But we can see right at the beginning in today's reading what it's all about. And what it's all about is, we don't often think about this, the book of Revelation is a letter. And specifically, I'm thinking about what the famous writer Kierkegaard said, the whole Bible, and that is it is a letter from the beloved. And we can see here today, it's a letter from the beloved. What's so strange about saying it's a letter from the beloved is because Jesus reveals himself, you can see this, in all this awesome and almost frightening power at the very, very beginning. We kind of see him as the ruler of the universe. He is Christ the King. He's the ruler of the universe. So in the midst of all this, and it would be difficult to miss how strange this would be at this time, he says something really peculiar, and that is, I love you. The word love is in there. And you're going, this is the analogy. You probably think of a better analogy yourself. This analogy comes to my mind. Your Canterbury Cathedral, right? All the bishops of the Anglican Communion are there. They're all processing in the up to the front of this massive display of Anglican glory. We love parades, right? Anglican glory. They're all headed to the front, and all this beautiful music is playing. It's absolutely glorious. When all of a sudden it stops, the Archbishop of Canterbury comes up to you, looks at you, grabs your hand, and says, "I know what you're going through." And then the parade starts again. It's kind of like that. It's unexpected. In all this glory, it's unexpected that the ruler of the universe should suddenly turn to us, the writers of this letter, which also means to us, and say to you, I love you, and I see you. So Jesus is talking to this, as you know, Jesus is talking to these seven churches in Turkey. They are small churches. They are under persecution. We're not sure who exactly is persecuting. Maybe a major persecution by the Roman emperor. Their neighbors hate them because they're not worshiping the gods. And every time something goes wrong, they say to the Christians, yeah, it's your fault. You're not worshiping the gods. That's why we had an earthquake. And also, even inside the community, there's a lot of conflict because there's a lot of false teaching in some of these communities. And so that they are having a bad time. But, you know, and some of them are doing relatively okay, but some of them are very discouraged. And it's like Jesus stops the procession and he turns to them and he says, I see you and I love you. There's this kind of moment of apocalypse, right? So when he says to them, I see you and I love you, as you'll see, it doesn't mean he's just going to say nice things. I mean, sometimes he's saying, you know, you have people you're close to in your family and your friends, right? Sometimes you need to say to them something which is difficult to say. You know, if you're going to maintain your friendship, sometimes you have to. And Jesus does this with these seven churches. Sometimes he says there's something difficult. But you know, how about this? You don't bother saying something difficult to somebody if you don't care about them. If you don't care about them, you're going, why should I put myself through the effort? You know, it's going to be uncomfortable. Why should I put myself through the effort? Jesus is saying things which are comforting and encouraging, also a little bit difficult because his underlying message is this. You may think, it's like Samuel says to Saul, you may be small in your own eyes, but in the eyes of God, you are highly significant for the salvation of the world. So Jesus is saying to these little communities, the way you see things is not the way things are. And so I'd like to show you the way things really are. So maybe we can think again about times in which we feel closed in. You know, this happens to everybody. It happens to me sometimes too. Where you kind of get closed in and you think you understand things, but it's not true. It's just kind of your discouragement. Talking, think about those times. And one of those times when the Lord has kind of broken through and said to you, hold on a minute. I want to give you a new way of looking at this. I see you and I would like to show you something else. For me, I still remember 40 years later, you know, it still sustains me. The Lord, you know, speaks to me now as well from time to time, but that still sustains me 40 years later. Remember, he said, peace, perspective, and strength. So it's the Lord gives us those times of apocalypse in our lives, not just for that moment, but he gives it to us for us to remember and sustain us into the future as he gives us the word of God itself to engage it again and again and again in a new way. So here we have a record of the letter from the beloved, and the message to us as we reread this letter from the beloved, as we're at the Eucharist as well, and this letter would have been read at the Eucharist, is this to us and to them and to us. And the message is this: I am the beginning and the end. He says to us, I free you from your sins. You are of great importance to me and the world, no matter what you think about yourself. So stand up and listen. Say amen, which means I'm going to do it. And I've got work for you to do. Amen.